But we're reading from Psalm 119, and we're at verse 129, the P section. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me, and be merciful unto me, as you used to do unto those that love your name. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep your precepts. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of waters run down my eyes, because they keep not your law. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. Speak to us, we pray, and bless us in your word, Lord. Encourage us and build us up, we pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's look at this section of the psalm. Again, we're focusing on the word of God. God's word, God's law, God's statutes, God's commandments, and so on. They've been blessing to our lives, and they brought blessing to the life of the psalmist. Pray tonight we'll be blessed as we continue in the word of God and receive from it instruction, direction, nourishment, encouragement. There's blessing, you see. And these first three verses of this particular section, they're the blessings of God that the psalmist is enjoying through his word. Don't look at the Bible. Don't look at reading the word of God as a chore that's got to be done, because you're a Christian and you've got to do it, haven't I? It's a blessing. And necessary food is there. And here are three thoughts of the blessing that the psalmist is enjoying from God in these first three verses. Your testimonies, it says here, are wonderful. It's a word which can mean, and that's the word that comes first in that particular verse, wonderful. But not just wonderful, it's a word that carries with it the idea of the miraculous. Miraculous things, wondrous things, marvellous things are your testimonies. The witness of God, the witness of what he desires and what he's done for us and what he wants for us. There are marvellous things there. And it's a plural word, actually. Wonderful things are your testimonies. Oh, let's learn about the Lord. Let's read his word. Let's feast on the witness that we have of the goodness of God. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
The goodness of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't know how people around us think about God, but we've got a word which shows to us that God is good. And you can add the words of the chorus all of the time. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All your testimonies, all that bear witness to you, Lord. So that my soul keeps them. With my whole being, I will keep them. It's not a chore. It's not rules and regulations. It's a delight. Praise the Lord. It's a delight to keep and treasure and protect and watch over the testimonies, the word of God. Miraculous things. This attitude is exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, it says, I come, lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. Yea, your law is written within my heart. Why have I said that that psalm exemplifies the attitude of Jesus? Because in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, it's quoted and it's applied to Jesus. I delight to do your will. When Jesus came, he was coming to do the will of the Father. He was coming to suffer and die for us. Praise the Lord. And all, as we come to the word of God, we'll get a revelation of the will of God. The will of God maybe for our own lives. The will of God for the situations around us. We'll get a revelation. God will lead us. God will guide us. If we're old enough, we might even sing the old hymn, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Oh, but God guides us through his word. Praise the Lord. And the attitude of Jesus is, I delight to do your will, O God. And the attitude that we can have is, I delight to do your will. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it speaks about the Lord Jesus leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Well, let's do so, because he will enable us to do what he's promised that we should do. And looking at the words of God, the entrance of your words give light. The entrance of your words. That Hebrew word for words is dabar again, which is that word which is settled forever in heaven. We saw that in the previous section. Your word, your dabar, is settled forever in heaven. Praise God. It meets our every need. It's revealed to us in this written word here, from Genesis to the Revelation. It's God's word that's settled in heaven. Men may seek to change this word of God, this written word of God, is settled in heaven. Men may seek to say, that doesn't apply anymore, that was in their culture, in their times, and so on and so forth. It's settled in heaven. It's forever. You won't go wrong if you stick to the word of God. It'll be a blessing to your life. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives light. We've already read in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's external. That can even be claimed by those who as yet do not know the Lord. The word of God is there as a guide and a light to our path day by day. His word is a light to the path that will lead to salvation, revealing Jesus Christ, revealing the price that was paid. God's word is a light to our path, but that's external. God's word is a light to show us the way. But here, we're talking about the entrance of God's word. And that word entrance in Hebrew carries with it the idea of opening. Opening. What's opening? It's revelation. What's the book of Revelation in the Dutch version, Heidi? What's it called? Remember? Openbaring. It's an opening. It's an opening. There's a revelation there. And the entrance of your words brings light, it brings revelation. It gives light within. Praise the Lord. It gives light within. Are you saved? Are you born again in the Spirit of God? The Word of God brings light within. Praise the Lord. You know, when Paul was writing to and I do believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, as you know, but in Hebrews chapter 10, he writes to them about the struggles, and he says, after you were illuminated, it lit up inside. When there was darkness inside, praise the Lord, there's now light. You can see, you can understand what God is saying, what God is promising. There's light, you know where you're going. Amen. And in the dark pathways of this world that we live in, God's word sheds light on that pathway too. Amen. We bless the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's just turn to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 6. He says this, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then he says, but we have his treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I was going to read verse 4 as well. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. All the world needs that light to shine in their hearts as well. You know what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8? He said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There it is. All the entrance of God's words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That's me, that's us, that's all of us.
Amen.
And actually the word in Hebrew means silly or seducible. That's what the enemy has done to this woman. He seduced Eve. He led her astray. Told her lies, which she believed and responded to. But the word of God gives us an understanding that we should not be deceived by the enemy.
Amen.
That we should not be led astray. There's a firm foundation. There's a sure guide. It gives understanding to the simple. You know, none of us can say, oh, it's too hard for me. No, God's word brings light. And what sometimes seems hard to us at first, as we feed on this word of God, it becomes our necessary food. As we feed on this word of God, we get an understanding by the revelation that the Spirit of God will give us. This word of God is inspired by the Spirit of God. And he will interpret it to us. He will bring it to us. He will bring it to an understanding of it. There's a firm foundation, a firm guide, that we should not be seduced by the enemy, that we should not be led astray by the enemy. You know what it says in Isaiah 53 about us? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's also a section about us. And it says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And it's a way of folly. Oh, praise God, God's word brings light, God's word brings revelation, that we can know what God requires of us, and that we can do. For what God requires of us, he will enable us by the power of his Spirit to do. God never tells us to do something that's not possible for us. He enables us to do what he's told us to do. Isn't that wonderful? What we couldn't do before, now that we're born again in the Spirit, and as we are moving in the fullness of the Spirit, there's a revelation, there's an enabling to do what God has called us to do. And so in verse 131, this is the psalmist's response to all this. He said, I opened my mouth, and it says in our authorised version, he says, I opened my mouth and panted. I opened my mouth and inhaled. That's breathing. I opened my mouth, and another version that you can find in the explanations of these words, I opened my mouth and swallowed up. I took it in to devour the word of God. He opened his mouth and went, whoosh, and he's drawing in. He wants to breathe in the word of God to feed on. That's how I used to eat food at one time. Shovel it down. I have to be a bit more careful nowadays and cut it up nicely and chew it well and all the rest of it. But that's what the psalmist actually wanted. He wanted to swallow down the food of God, the word of God. He says, I opened my mouth and I drew it in, for I longed for your commandments. He wanted more of what God had for him. I want more of your commandments. And that's what we're singing, really, when we sing that old chorus, I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. We want to do more of what he wants us to do and be what he wants us to be. It comes to that place where we're saying to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do now? If your heart is right with God, you will see the value of God's word. You'll receive the revelation and you'll long for it more and more. The more you read the word of God, the more you meditate on the word of God, the more you feed on the word of God, the more you want. And then in these next three verses, maybe it brings a revelation also. He wants to be in that place, but aware of own weaknesses in the flesh. And so we've got three verses where he's calling upon, even four verses in fact, where he's calling on the Lord to work in his life. Lord, here I am. There's another chorus, isn't it? Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to do your will. Lord, work on me. Enable me to do what you want me to be. And so he says in verse 32, he says, look on me. Look upon me. And the idea of that looking carries with it the idea in Hebrew of turning. Isn't it what you do? You hear a voice to one side and you turn. And God will turn to us if we call upon him in our understanding of these things. Look to me. Be merciful to me. It's wonderful, you know, that God is a God of all mercy and grace. And that idea of being merciful, it's a meaning that is carried in the word of bending down, stooping down. You know, when a little kid comes to talk to you, you bend down to get down to their level a bit more, don't you? Or you see people kneeling down to be alongside them. You're coming down to their level. God comes down to our level. In Jesus Christ, he came down to our level where we were in our sin. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's full of grace and truth. And we read concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. All this meant in Philippians, there's in chapter 2, there's that wonderful expression that Paul brings in. let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did he do? He made himself of no reputation. A bit further on, he says, he humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. He came down. He humbled himself for our salvation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, our sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, what grace. Oh, what mercy. And when the psalmist is calling on the Lord to be merciful to him, he's sure of a positive response, because that is the God he worships. The God who bends down to care for his children, those that are his. He comes down to their level to lift them up. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh Lord, we can rejoice in the lifting up.
Amen.
He's lifted me up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and he's set my feet upon a rock. He's established my goings. I put a song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Wonderful. It's what you do, Lord. It's what you do. It's a bit of a mouthful in the Authorised Version. If I do the these and the thous, as thou usest to do unto those that love your name. It's what your custom is, Lord, to do this. You're rich in mercy to all who call upon you. And you'll come down to lift us up. And my steps, Lord, here's the first word in the sentence, you see. My steps, Lord, my pathway, the way that I'm going, my progress in your word, I need them to be ordered. I need them to be ordered. I need them to be established. I need to be on firm ground so that I can walk confidently in what you're saying. Because this is the word that we have here in Hebrew. Order my steps in your word. It's not that dabar word that I said earlier. It's imra. And imra is more concerned with the speaking. You know, we have in the New Testament, we have a couple of words for word. The Logos, or Logos. The Logos. It's this word. It's Jesus Christ who is the word, the Logos of God. But you'll also find that there is the word Rhema. And Rhema is that word that comes to us in the power of the Spirit of God. It's that spoken word. It's his word, but it comes in that power, speaking to us. And that's what the psalmist wants. He wants his steps to be ordered in God's word, as God speaks to him day by day. We can come to this written word of God and our minds can be elsewhere and we get nothing out of it. But when we come to this word of God, if we come prayerfully and we get that anointing of the Holy Spirit as we're reading this word, we can hear and we can listen to what God is saying to us. And sometimes that word as God speaks to us personally. It gives us revelation for the need of the hour. Oh, order my steps in your word. Don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let me be in the control of anything that's wrong. You know, the enemy's tricky. The enemies are tricky. The Bible refers to the wiles of the devil in Ephesians. Well, don't be deceived by his tricks. Don't be deceived by his tricks. Don't let iniquity control me, have dominion over me, rule over me, govern me. No, I want to have my steps ordered in your word. As you speak, I want to do what you say, not what the enemy says. Hallelujah. We need to have these prayers in our hearts and lives that we might follow the Lord and what he says to us. Because the enemy's there on the sidelines somewhere shouting in other directions, distractions, trying to pull us off the pathway. Order my steps, establish them, Lord. Let them be firm in your word. And deliver me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. The oppression of man. The word contains the idea. Again, with the Hebrew words, we get other ideas coming in from the origins of the word. There's the idea behind it of fraud and deceit. Deliver. And that deliverance word, it's the first word in the sentence again. Deliverance is associated with a ransom. It's associated with a redemption being made. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord, to deliver us from our sin, paid the ransom? He paid the price. He paid the price in full for human sin. He paid the price in full for your sin. He paid the price in full for my sin. A ransom has been made that we might be delivered.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Here is the confidence of the faith of the man of God. Deliver me from the oppression of man, and I will keep your precepts. Lord, you know my desire. I want to keep your precepts. Deliver me, keep me safe from, keep me out of the way of the oppression of man, the falsehoods, the deceits that are in the world. And make your face to shine upon your servant. The idea again, in that make your face to shine upon your servant, carries with it the idea of turning again. When the Lord, as it were, his face is upon us, there is the radiance of his glory shining into our lives. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Your favour, your approval, make it shine on your servant. And Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me your way. Or it's the face that turns in favour. You know, we had a friend in when we were in Belgium, and Penny had to. We were working in teams, and the boys slept in one area, and the girls slept in another area. One girl on the team, she had this demon possession, and she started doing strange shouting out. And it went on for 2 or 3 days, and then the pastor who was leading us, Pastor Oldfield, he prayed for her one night. And he was just outside where we were, the boys, and we could hear what was going on, the shouting that she was shouting out all the time. And he was praying with her for hours, and in the end, a demon was cast out. Mm. And Jennifer, her name was, Jennifer eventually went on to become a missionary to Congo and served the Lord. There was a history to why she was like that. Well, very probably going into murky details, but it's got a history to it. It always has a history to it. And she was set free. But one of the things she said was that while Pastor Alfred was praying for her, she saw the face of Jesus. And as she saw the face of Jesus, he turned his face away from her, as if in rejection. Pastor Alfred said to her, that wasn't Jesus. You thought it was, but it wasn't. It's the enemy trying to deceive you. He will never turn his face away from you. If you're looking to him and calling upon his name, he loves you. Hallelujah. Turn your face to me, says the psalmist. Turn your face to me, to shine upon your servant, and teach us your statutes. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, in Numbers chapter 6, there's that famous prayer for the people of Israel, a blessing for the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25. It's verse 24, 25, 26, but the 25 is the verse we're looking at. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord make his face shine upon you. It's what the Lord wants his people to pray to him for. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 67 and verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. He wants to shine into our lives. Spirit of God, my teacher be. Showing the things of Christ to me. Teach me your precepts. Teach me your statutes, Lord. He's a man that loves the Lord, delights in the word of God, but he wants the Lord to work on his life more. He can't do it by himself. He can't make it alone. Lord, you've got to work on me a bit more. Do you feel like that sometimes? Lord, you've got to do a bit more work on me, Lord. Keep me. Teach me more. Show me more of your word. And he will. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 13, he said, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, he talks about the Holy Spirit, the anointing that we received, which teaches us all the Holy Spirit of God. Will teach us and show us the things of Christ and the things of the Lord. And then this very last verse. He says, rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not your law. Now, I don't think the they refers to his eyes. I think the they refers to those that have gone astray, those that are not the Lord's, those that all around him are against the word of God, don't live by the word of God, contrary to the word of God. His eyes are filled with tears. He's got the blessing of God in his life, but he's got a desire that others should know that blessing too. His eyes are filled with tears for those that are lost because they don't keep God's law. There's the evidence. They don't keep God's law. They don't keep the Torah. Oh, that we too might have that same attitude of maybe inwardly or maybe actually physically weeping for those who are lost as we're praying for the lost, that we might have a heart to reach the lost. Not because it's something we've got to do, but because we have a compassion for the lost, the direction they're going and where they're heading without the Lord. Or that we might know these rivers of waters running down his eyes. And so much the more today. So much the more today. When there is not even the token legalistic acknowledgement of God's law. People have cast it aside. At one time people at least made an outward attempt. But now it's cast aside. It's being contradicted. It's being denied. All praying that the Spirit of God will move upon this nation. The people around us, that we might have the attitude of the psalmist, a compassion for those that don't know the Lord and his grace and his mercy. Praise the Lord.